And now, a word from Gia Gunn. Say what you want, but I saw zero beauty at this year's DragCon. What happened to the glamour? I'm an icon, sweets. No need to stand in a barn stall waiting to get the life sucked out of me for pennies. I've learned conserving your energy is far more valuable than fame or any dollar amount. I give credit to all the queens who were visible this weekend. Enough said. And now, a word from the people contractually required to respond. Pheromone. I know somebody that looks like the human embodiment of the scream mask didn't just come for everybody's drag looks, lol. Uh-oh, we've obsessed Miss Ketamine Continental 2022. Pangina heals. While others worked hard and planned endless hours to create an uplift, others feel the need to be messy for no reason. Irrelevant. Some doors need to be closed. Trixie Mattel. Gia, please never change. Bosco, in response. She is the funniest person in the world, and I will be her biggest fan till the day I die. Crystal Method. I stand with Gia Gunn. Hashtag where's the glamour. Akiria Davenport, in response. Fuck my drag, lol. Priyanka. We feel the same way about you, baby. Jasmine Kennedy. Did Gia Gunn attend DragCon? Girls, stop trying to make your comments about the community of sisters when you're not even there to be a part of it. DragCon is a time to uplift and embrace our sisters for all the work we have put into our craft to not tear each other down. Nikki Doll. Oh, girl, please. Lady Camden. I'll take tattoos of my signature, an abundance of gifts, tears of joy, and thousands of people telling Maxine over glamour any day. Hashtag DragCon 2022. Jiggly Caliente. I hope everyone who went to DragCon enjoyed their time. Comments from the Peanut Gallery on beauty and glamour. I can't be buffed. Neither could Sephora. Heidi in Closet. Now, I usually don't say anything, especially when it comes to messy, foolish, and clearly incorrect social media posts. But this time, Miss Gia Gunn, I feel like this is a step too far. As sisters, we build each other up, not tear each other down, until you learn that. Take a seat. Alaska 5000. Bring back the era of glamour. Deja Sky. The glamour this weekend was just not it, apparently. Must have been at the Open Door Con down the street, I guess. Ocean Aqua Black. I think this tweet is a little hurtful, and I say that with respect towards you without attacking you. I put a lot of effort in my drag for my first drag con, like many people. I even waved at you and you passed me by when you ignored me totally. Kim Chi, say what you want, but I saw zero booty at this year's drag con. What happened to the badonkadonk? Cornbread, my favorite part of the fandom trying to turn shade into bullying, which goes to show y'all have never been backstage at a drag show, cause baby, the shit I tweet is lightweight. Shake Lit, a true comedy queen. Pheromone in response, a true devil, evil demon from Hell Queen. Shake Lit in response, the scream I just scrumped. Carrie Colby, hi, I'm Miss T.S. Tinkerbell, and I'm absolutely not glamorous. Bosco, diva, icon, poet, I need her on my television show. Kimora Hall, well damn, Gia Gunn in response, you looked pretty, mama. Alyssa Hunter, look in the mirror. Tatiana, that insecurity is showing, clean it up. Mariah Paris Balenciaga, when a beta bitch that can't put her lashes on correctly has the nerve to say there was no beauty or glamour at RuPaul's DragCon this year, you just gotta have to look at the source. Laugh and take it with a grain of salt. Everybody say love, hashtag RuPaul's Drag Race. Candy Muse, hashtag no beauty at DragCon. Aquaria, say what you want, but I saw zero fit women in business at this year's DragCon. What happened to get up your ass and fucking work? It seems like nobody wants to work these days. Ben de la Creme, I'm sorry, I was just so busy. I'll be sure to pop by next time. Gia Gunn, didn't miss much, sis.
Come on, if you know the words, let's go.
What do I think of her?
Yes.
I don't think of her.
A red wine and a swisher. I think you get the picture.
Bitch. Here I go. Oh,
read about that in the New York fucking Post.
End scene.
It was so hard not to laugh during that.
Okay, wait. Tag yourself. I'm Kim Chi. Say what you want, but I saw zero booty at this year's DragCon. What happened to the badonkadonk?
I am Bosco, tweeting icon, poet, get her on TV again. I actually tweeted at Bosco and was like, thank you for being correct. And I did the same for Cornbread because they were truly the only people who had a rational response to what happened. And what happened was Gia Gunn tweeted less than 250 characters. And in response, hundreds of thousands of tweets were lodged, literally, and sent and sailed into the ether.
The drag con shot heard around the world. Like, international incident.
I had tweeted
nothing
about
was
this.
Ever yeah. the same.
I'd been tweeting about this all weekend as a joke, right? Because, like, again, it's so funny that Gia Gunn can literally breathe in people's directions, and it is like an international incident that needs to be dealt with by the UN Council on Human Rights Violations. Like, everyone had been having a meltdown about this, right? Like, people tweeting like,
so
Gia
seriously.
Did a hate crime. And I'd been tweeting about how, you know, this is pretty revealing because you have these party bottoms at World of Wonder leaking their gun oil all over the couch cushions of the holding room at the WoW Presents Plus, you know,
can
backstage.
Can you?
And they're saying, tweeting, doing the wildest things at their shows on TV, on Twitter, in person, and on Reddit. And God forbid Gia Gunn, who's not even in that franchise anymore, like, tweets literally anything. It is like she is public enemy number one, like top of the Fed watch list, right? And I had been tweeting about it, and people were like so confused about the situation, people from outside Drag Race. And when I finally retweeted her tweet and been like, this was actually kind of hilarious, there was so many people who were like, wait, is this literally all that she said?
Yes, because that's what happens in the Drag Race community.
People were seeing like the response to it, and no one actually saw what Gia said. And it was like, once again, a dog pile on a trans person that I personally took a lot of umbrage with. I'm not trying to like turn this into a moral thing, right? Like, Gia's a troll. Gia knows that she's a troll.
From season six, episode one.
She is there to cause drama.
Like,
we know
every
this.
Episode, every time she's
we
been
know
on Drag
this.
Race.
But the way that people interact with her goes beyond the level of trolling, because there is so much vitriol for her transness, the way that she looks. You know, Pheromone says that she looks like the Scream mask. What does that make Pheromone? The Michael Myers mask? I mean, once again, people commenting on a trans person's appearance does set me off. I don't care what that
Michael
trans person...
Mask.
I'm just saying, if we're all shopping for each other at the Halloween party store, I would rather wear the Scream mask. Don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
The Scream mask
That's a compliment.
The Scream mask gives cunt.
It's
gives
iconic.
Pussy. Like,
yeah. Also, love Cornbread. Okay, speaking of someone who has been persecuted for saying literally nothing dramatic whatsoever,
yeah.
Cornbread like had to get off Twitter and is now back on it because they will literally just say something kind of sort of shady once, and people on our PDR drama Reddit page and on Twitter and on YouTube and Snapchat at this point will be like, oh my God, does she even respect drag anymore? Like, how could she not have respect for her sisters?
And again,
Cornbread's
like,
I'm literally Miss Congeniality. Everyone loves me. I'm not causing
like,
a problem. What
you
the
know,
fuck are you on?
I think this is the problem that people outside of the World of Wonder industrial complex have with World of Wonder queens,
right,
where they treat this like it is a forced sisterhood where congeniality is the only code of conduct. I agree that like when you are in a workplace with people, it does pay pretty well to like
be
nice
cool
and cordial,
likes you, duh.
But Gia Gunn is not in World of Wonder. Gia Gunn is not doing World of Wonder gigs.
Yep.
Gia Gunn is not getting invited back to Drag Race. So like, why are you all pressed? You don't work with her anyways.
Yeah, she literally wasn't there. So, like, you're just falling into the bit. Like, you're falling into
she
the
gag.
She
was there.
Oh, she was?
Yes, but people
outside
of it
can have. Oh, but she wasn't working the event. That's why
I
guess
like
to say.
Yeah, even, like, porn stars and different brands and stuff get
drag content.
Yeah, of course.
Oh,
boots.
Half the boots there are just
but,
other
like,
brands. Yeah.
They're not having to make WoW Presents Plus TV shows with her. She's not getting invited to do the RuPaul Christmas movie.
Yeah.
She's not going to be in Brady Brunch Live or whatever the fuck god-awful thing
that was
Paramount
horrible.
Plus is pushing out next. Like
that Brady Bunch special was like a fever dream on speed. I don't know what I saw.
We need
could
to,
not tell you what happened.
To protect abortion more than ever, but especially so that we can continue to abort TV shows like the Brady Bunch remake, because it must be said that those things cannot be allowed to exist.
That was a statement.
Something shouldn't make it past the fetal stage. Like... So, you know, I just think it's so funny that she said all this, and it was really not a lot. And like, it was like there was a call sent out to every queen who has ever appeared on RuPaul's Drag Race to make a statement about this, to make this an issue. And some queens, like, actually were just being, like, kiki fun about
it. Yeah, like Bosco, Cornbread, Alaska.
Trixie, Alaska, like, all those girls, like, don't care, right? Like,
they're like, this
cool
is funny. Like,
didn't say anything. But the people who are, like, actually taking, like, moral issue with what Gia said, like, y'all don't like her anyways. Why are you so bothered by what she has to say if you're not going to book her for anything, if you're not going to put her in shows, if you're not going to work with her? What effect does she have on you? Gia Gunn has no institutional power. Gia Gunn's opinion is not going to stop millions of horny,
like,
straight teenage girls
this.
From flooding Los Angeles to get fucking Trixie and Katia merch at DragCon every year. Like,
even though Trixie and Katia, like, weren't there.
They weren't even there. They don't even have to show up at this point, and the teen girls will still come. So, like,
when
listen,
they show the Trixie booth with, like, $1 million of the merch and Trixie's not there,
have
I'm like,
fun
wow,
signing
y'all.
A million good. Babies and small children. But, like, who cares? You still made
also,
all your money.
This is, like, the fifth time or sixth time Gia's made this joke on national television. Like, their exit line was, like, these are all dudes. There's no glamour. Like, it's we've been here before. Catch up.
Yeah, I think mostly my issue with this is just that, like, the way that people respond to Gia is over and above the normal response that most drag queens
definitely.
Get. And when the majority of the people piling on are, at least in public, cis gay men in drag, I do feel some type of way that they're all coming for her looks. It does make me feel some kind
well,
of
Pheromone way. Well, Pheromone being like, she basically like shot my mother. Like, what was that reaction for? Like, what happened?
And, you know, I shouldn't say anything about Pheromone's looks because it's not her fault she looks like
well, you
like
know
that.
Who wins?
She needs... Anyways, do you want to talk about Christine Quinn?
I was going to say, speak you.
I mean, yeah, we can keep talking about famously Christine Quinn. She's going full scorched earth. Have you seen this at
okay,
all?
So I read a little bit about this.
You caught up on the season, right? Like, you
oh, yeah,
finished
yeah, yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
watched the reunion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, cool, cool, cool. So you saw a little bit about this?
Well, actually, I didn't see the reunion yet.
Oh.
I know, I don't.
Well, she didn't show up, so it's not like
I was
going to
say, yeah. But also, the fact that she's on the Call Her Daddy podcast.
Yeah.
Notoriously cursed content.
So, the Christine Quinn, famously now defunct Selling Sunset star, is going on a podcast that we have talked about a little bit, Call Her Daddy, which went through a big kerfuffle at Barstool Sports, where basically the host of it now basically fucked over, Alex Cooper fucked over her co-host and sided with Dave Portnoy to keep the podcast at Barstool Sports.
Mess.
Got a huge payout, huge
mess.
Deal, and the other host has like basically received nothing.
And this is also the podcast that did Jamie Lynn's like, you know, exposed
yes.
episode.
And also did
that went nowhere.
Lala went on there as
oh,
well.
God,
and
yeah.
Lala, or no, not Lala. That was where the rumor that Lala's Range Rover was given to her by a married man who had previously given it to someone who wrote in to Call Her Daddy.
Oh,
way back in
I don't know
Call
about
Her Daddy's
this
early
lore.
Day. Yeah, that's
okay.
The deep lore. I don't listen to the podcast, but I do read Reddit.
This is very much the deep, deep sect of Los Angeles I do not want to be in.
So Christine Quinn went on the podcast to talk about how, you know, the whole show is fake. And none of it's real, and she was manipulated to look evil, yada,
I mean,
yada,
yeah.
yada. Sure.
Well, with what she's giving them, it's easy to do. I'll just say that. Like,
I'm getting this from Us Weekly, these poll quotes. So I'll just read some of them. So, quote, "We come to a scene and they want everything to be, I can't even say the word without laughing, organic. They literally hold us away from each other. Chelsea and I are best friends. Vanessa and I are best friends. So we show up to set and they separate us in different rooms and then they wait till we're ready to film and they send us in. But in the meantime, they'll have someone say, oh my gosh, you know, Christine just said this about you in a previous scene. And they'll come to me and say, Chelsea said this about you in a previous scene. So they set up these scenarios. scenarios which instigate our emotions intentionally. But I've been doing the show for 4 years. I'm on 5 seasons, so I know how it works. Well, girl, duh. Of course, that's how a reality TV show is filmed.
Also, like if you know, then why are you falling into the trap exponentially further than you need to? Like, you didn't
this
have
is
to
the
do
thing
that.
About reality television, and we say this all the time. It doesn't matter that a producer supposedly or allegedly made you say something or told you information. You ultimately are the one that is in control of your words and your actions. You can make the choice not to say the things that you say.
No.
And I do not believe the bad edit, because oftentimes these people are actually saying these things out of their mouths. Now, what Christine alleges is that the things that she was saying actually never came out of her mouth, and they actually stitched sentences together so that it sounds like she was saying horrible things.
They do that.
They do. No, but she was saying that
they... But she has some pretty long long scenes where she's saying some wild shit.
They allege that she was fully manufactured, that nothing she said was true, and that all the horrible things she said about her castmates were actually put in her mouth, that there were scenes where she knows for a fact she would say Chrishell's name and they would put Amanza's name in instead, like that kind of thing.
But there's scenes where they're all sitting together, clearly fighting, clearly disagreeing, like leaving because they're angry. So like, what, was that completely fabricated?
So she says that season 4 and 5 were shot in 1 month spans each. Quote, we shoot them back to back, so it's very, very quick turnaround. She says it's very hard to shoot a show because of continuity issues. Quote, I've been into the office. There are 6 full-time storyboarders. What they do is they write the storylines, and depending on how things change in the real world in our lives, they can rotate the storylines. But we have 6 full-time storyboarders who create the narratives. Yes, this is what I don't understand about people who criticize reality TV saying this like it's a big revelation. When you are making a show, the primary motivator, besides being entertaining, is it needs to have a plot. Episodes need
what else do
to
we have
a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Yep.
A season needs an arc. We hire, not we, but the industry hires storyboarders and narrative directors for reality TV, because without them, you are just filming people and have no sense of purpose, no sense of time.
Nobody would want to watch that either.
No sense of narrative.
Yeah.
On a reality show and on a documentary even, people literally transcribe all the footage and then documentary filmmakers do this, because I went to school for documentary filmmaking and this is how we did it. Transcribe your footage and then you keyword search in your footage for things that you are looking for, and then you use the transcripts to write your movie. You literally use the transcripts to edit your movie together, because it is nearly impossible to actually comb through hundreds of hours of footage casually when you are trying to edit something together. You need storyboard designers.
Yeah.
You need narrative leads, because without that, your show is just an incoherent mess of footage. It's not interesting to watch.
I was going to say, the only thing I can think of that is like a true like chronological telling of something happening documentary style are like old YouTuber vlogs. And those were boring as fuck because they had no storyline. It was just, hi, I'm here, I'm doing something, and these things happen. And because there's so much bullshit and other unnecessary shit in between, you can't even remember what is the arc going on.
Yes.
And it's obviously way more entertaining if we can cut and paste what we want to hear.
And the reason why producers feed people lines, the reason why they feed people narrative, is because without it, even people like Christine Quinn are not interesting.
Yeah.
Nobody is very interesting when they sit down and just start rambling. We literally have to have a script for this podcast that we follow, because if we just had a free range conversation tied to nothing, it would be unlistenable.
Like even the way we arrange the stories and the way that in the moment we're even changing it, because we can tell, oh, this is going to be weird, this is going to be disjointed, and you're not going to enjoy it.
Yes.
And that's what Christine, I think, is saying this and maybe later on, where she's like, yeah, and they obviously change it as we go along. It's still going to follow a narrative.
And also on Drag Race, this gets why I don't like the Drag Race as manufactured elements, because of course it's manufactured. It wouldn't be an interesting show if it wasn't. It would not be as popular as it is if there weren't people behind the scenes manipulating storylines. Now, the brilliance of certain seasons of Drag Race is that you don't see the manipulations. Right. That you get engrossed.
Right. Or that the game is at least played somewhat fairly, or the judging is somewhat fair.
When the manipulations are obvious, that's when it's unenjoyable.
That's when it's weird. And that's when it's really obvious that like things Drag that Race, are happening.
What they are doing is they have storyboard designers on Drag Race, storyboard writers, where they are watching the dailies. They are taking the transcripts from the interviews. And they are creating scripts out of them for the episode. They're like, in this episode, we know we got this one soundbite out of Jasmine Kennedy about Maddie Morphosis. Mm-hmm. And Maddie, in a separate interview, said this thing. So why not, for the next challenge, we put them in a scenario where those two things come into conflict? Because we could get something good out of that.
It's like on Drag Race when randomly Rue's like, I'm going to assign the pairings. And you're like, oh, really? This is so interesting because all the people that hate each other and talk shit are now paired together. Unlike when they don't have that going on and they let them choose themselves.
And also...
Yeah, Christine's really like, I cracked the code, y'all. Like, it's all bullshit. Like, we're really different than the rest. As if nobody does this.
It gets interesting. So, when you watch the show, you have to understand, you know, we're following so many characters and so many different people. So, we can only show a certain amount. But there are different sides to me. In addition to being funny and maybe a loudmouth, I am also a vulnerable side, and I'm just like everyone else. I'm a human and I have a heart, and things do hurt me. And even the relationships with the girls. I wish we could all be friends, but it is what it is. What you see on television is only just a small snippet of my life and what I put in the work behind the scenes and everything that took me here. So I hope that people read my book and understand where I'm coming from.
She has a book.
Yeah, and this is again what I don't understand is like she thinks of herself as this grand cosmic entity that has been universally ordained to be an iconic reality television show character, and yet she allowed Netflix, a budding streaming service at the time that Selling Sunset came out, that was only very recently dabbling in unscripted television.
Yeah, that's true.
Scripted reality TV. You allowed yourself to get played by some producers who worked on The Hills, the most famous reality television show maybe of all time, that literally set standards of reality television for a decade. You let yourself get played by them, because this is the thing I don't understand. If you're going on reality television, you have to understand you are the product of a reality television show. You are what they are trying to sell. And they are going to take what you give them and use the most interesting bits.
And when you say shit, like cussing people out, telling them they're all fake as fuck, recapping events completely differently than
selling stories to TMZ, they're not going to show you nursing your baby or being a nice wife or, you know, gardening. They're not going to show that because you gave them the drama.
All the women literally do not like her and have said multiple times they've tried, and she just like basically spits in their face. But if the women, if you were actually being nice to them and had a good relationship, they wouldn't be acting
that
way.
But also, even if she was actually a sweet person and Mary, Chriselle, Amanza, Heather, they're all conniving witches, which is what Christine paints them out to be in this interview.
Yeah.
Even if that was the case, you look stupid because they won. They played you. Because guess what? They all know what you're saying about them in confessionals.
Exactly.
The producers are saying
don't say it.
What you have said. They are spreading it around. And so they all know what you have given the producers and those storyboard designers that you were so shady about earlier in this interview. They know that. And so they know they can make you look like the villain because you have given the edits to be a villain. You have given the producers the material.
She says, like, quote right here, I'm on 5 seasons, so I know how it works. Do you? Then why'd you let yourself get basically, like, let go from the show because you can't work with anybody? Like, 4 seasons of you being the villain,
because
did you not catch on?
Because in a reality TV show, guess what? It doesn't matter if Fifi was correct. Because Fifi let herself get played by those people because she let herself get to a level on that television show where she was basically edited into a monster.
Yep.
Even if that's not who Fifi O'Hara really is, Fifi said those things.
That's the problem. Also,
and the producers did not make Fifi say the things that she said.
Yeah.
And once those things leave your mouth and you have signed a contract to be on a reality show, it is fair game for them to use those words however they want. And so don't say it if you
also,
don't want
Christine,
them to use
it. Also, Christine, I kept thinking about this in season 5. Like, you were literally texting me as we were watching it. Like, I cannot believe she fumbled the bag this hard. Because Christine could have gone in and did, like, a whole peace era. She could have done, like, the, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, no. I've learned my ways. Like, she could have literally just given them
but
only
instead, you're
apologies.
Giving them, like, oh, she's telling TMZ that we were cheating on our spouses with each other. She's telling TMZ that, like, X, Y, and Z about me. You're literally selling stories. You're giving interviews. Like, it doesn't.
Yeah, the amount of times where, like, you said in People this horrible thing about me, and she's like, yeah, I guess I said that. It's like, okay, so what are we gonna do? Like,
and also, guess what?
You're admitting it.
The fun thing about people like Lisa Vanderpump is they were still enjoyable to watch on television sometimes. The final season was a different story, but Lisa Vanderpump lasted on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills as long as she did because she was actually fun. She was like a rich weirdo.
Well, she gave both. She gave evil. She gave good. Like, she was
she gave
giving
compassion
them
and she
with.
Gave manipulator.
Yeah.
But like, Christine went in thinking that she could just play fucking Ice Queen 24/7. Like, that wasn't eventually going to bite her in the ass.
Yeah.
Like, the thing that I don't think the rest of the cast has realized is I don't really care Chrishell's motivations about basically anything because she's a reality television show person, actress, character, whatever you want to call her. And she's giving us what we want, which is a character arc, which is depth, which is dynamism. Dynamism, dynamic.
I love saying dynamism, even though I know it's not a word.
Yeah. Like, it's dynamic. It's entertaining. There's an arc to her life, right? Like, she starts out as this, like, goody two-shoes girl.
Oh my God, no, dynamism is a word. The quality of being characterized, by vigorous activity and progress.
Yeah, so dynamism.
There you go, yeah.
There's dynamism to it. Like, literally, like, she starts out as this goody two-shoes character who then gets fucked over by her spouse. She has her, like, weepy era. Then she buys her house. Now she's in her bad bitch G-flip era. Like, there's an iconic arc to that, right? Like, Heather has changed significantly. Amanda came on the show not knowing where her husband was, and now she's making it on her own. Like, they're giving us something, right? Like,
Mary also, like, worked enough to now where they gave her a promotion.
What has Christine given us, really, about her life?
Also, Christine doesn't sell homes. Like, she doesn't even sell properties. Like, she just throws parties that are ridiculous. And that's the thing that's so annoying, is it's like, Christine literally did have all the checkboxes of evil, crazy, like, entertaining like actress basically on the show, and she just kept going in the evil route. Like, you could have saved it. You could have made it better.
I can say this because we're on Patreon, but like, I've never met a more condescending person than Christine.
Oh yeah,
because
you interviewed her and you were on the phone with her, so you really do have first-hand experience.
She's one of those people where she was talking to me like I was a mouse that she had trapped in a cage, and I was like, I don't think you really understand what this is, right? Like, she is one of those people where she feels like she is so totally in control of her image and the way that people perceive her. And I would ask her questions about, like, exactly this. Like, have you ever seen things edited out of context? Or have you ever seen things edited out of order?
Yeah.
And she said almost verbatim that, you're a smart girl, Joan. I'm sure you could figure it out. Like, you know, just being condescending for no reason, you know, continuing that persona into her real life. So why do you think it was so easy for people to turn on her? Because they see the way that she is in interviews, right? Like, who cares that you have a sweet side? Because everything you've ever given anyone you've ever interacted with is villainy. And like, just other things, like when I asked her how much her wedding was and she was like, it's $1 million. I was like, wow, congratulations. You know, in the transcript, it didn't read like that. And there was one commenter.
No, when I read it, but I mean, I know you, I read it in your voice, but
the one commenter I'll never forget being like, wow, Joan's like a leftist. And here she is congratulating Christine. I was like, okay, this is one of the ways in which print journalism has failed us. But like, you know, she just kept going on and on about it. And I was like, oh, you really don't know. Like, you don't know that I'm going to make you look so fucking
stupid.
No,
she loves the attention. She loves to like push this persona that she thinks is very
that she's the bad bitch in
and
charge.
And that people are eating it
not.
Up. And the funny, okay, and this thing, after watching,
she got played in a fucking, like, I've never seen someone get played harder.
I think also having watched like 200 million seasons of Housewives and other shows at this point, like, I rarely have ever seen it where a person who is actually good and has real friendships actually gets turned on like this. Like, the narrative that she's actually this dynamic, good person, and that they all just turned on her because it's good for television. The only time I can think of that actually happening is maybe, like, Garcelle and Sutton on Real Beverly Hills right now, where Erica and Rinna are clearly like, you're coming for us, so we're going to be mean to you, even though you're good people. But it doesn't last. Lisa Rinna's everyone can on TV,
and Christine didn't learn a single fucking thing about how to be a villain with longevity to it, you know? Like, I've never seen an evil bitch like Lisa Rinna have more gas in her tank. Like...
You could tell because everyone's starting to get tired of their shit.
So there's other things that Christine says, like, I'm going to get sued after this. I don't care. You can't afford my lawyers. There's three different tiers to pay. I get paid the most. Jason as well. My entertainment attorney, you know, basically said this is my value and I think it's all about recognizing your worth. Christine added that she tried to band together with her co-stars to negotiate together, but they weren't interested. When we went into the show, we all have separate lawyers. The majority of the cast is represented by one lawyer, but obviously I had to find my own entertainment attorney and do my own thing. They told us that there's tiers. I was the one who came to the whole cast and said, listen, if we need to get paid what I believe we all deserve as a whole, because we are all equals, we need to band together and be on the same page. But it didn't work, and some people were eager to sign their contracts right away, which immediately tiered them in a different group. She also says, season three is when I realized I can't win. There was a time when I was actually talking about Mary in a scene, and I watched my mouth say Amanza, and I didn't say Amanza's name. And that was when I was like, what Wizard of Oz shit am I up against? Even the office scene where Mary got promoted, that was the best day we ever had together. We were so excited. We had so much fun, and it didn't happen that way on camera. We were all hugging each other like, oh my God, Mary, I'm so happy for you. We're all getting along. It was great. But the producers told me to keep walking out of the office. I walked out of the office probably 16 times and they were like, no smile, no wave, no smile, no wave. But like, we're prisoners, right? We can't leave until they get what they want.
So you knowingly gave in to the edit is what she's saying.
And then is mad at the way she was edited.
Like,
you could, I mean, you say you're being paid. This is the thing that I am like trying to get at. You say you're being paid the most, but you also say that you're at the whim, that you literally are forced to walk out of the office 16 times because you can't leave because you're their prisoner. But you also have the most power because you got your own attorney and you know your worth. Which is it, Christine?
It's this thing, if you like cared enough, you would refuse to do it.
And if you were the star, they wouldn't actually have that power over you, and you know that. But you were not the star.
She's trying to have it both ways. She's constantly trying to have it both ways. Like,
yeah, this whole interview was...
But I'm also a slave to production. Like,
this whole interview was infuriating because I was just like, I've never seen someone go out on, like, such a, like, wet fart of a noise, you know? Like, she really just evaporated into dust, and that's that.
And then you don't show up to the reunion.
Very good luck booking that stage you speak of, you know? Good luck buying your way to the top of the New York Times bestseller list. Maybe you can put all that crypto to use for something. I have a nepotism baby alert that I want to alert you to. So
who's this?
Are you ready for an iconic Just Jared Jr. headline?
Oh, I mean, only the most real and interesting and important news comes from Just Jared Jr.
Hero finds Tiffin and Ashley Benson join zombie movie Loneliest Boy in the World.
Who are these people?
Okay.
Ben Simone? No, I'm kidding.
You know Ashley Benson from Pretty Little Liars, Hannah.
Oh, okay. Well,
Hero Queen. Finds Tiffin and Ashley Benson have revealed they have joined the cast of a new movie. The actors will co-star in the upcoming movie, The Loneliest Boy in the World, which is written by Pierce Ashworth and directed by Martin Owen, Deadline reveals. The upcoming film puts Hero back with Voltage Pictures, who he worked with on the After franchise. In Loneliest Boy in the World, after the tragic loss of his mother, Oliver, iconic character name in a movie, is threatened with state custody unless he can find a new family. And Oliver does just that. He digs up one at the local cemetery. When Oliver wakes up the next day, the corpses have come to life. He must now convince the social workers that he has found the perfect family, who just happen to be decomposing. So Hero,
so who are
finds,
these children?
Hero finds. I was like, finds is like a name I've heard before, right?
I'm on IMDb and I'm seeing, oh, they played Tom Riddle in Harry Potter.
Okay, so Hero is the son of Martha Fiennes and George Tiffin. So, from Wikipedia, Fiennes was born in Suffolk, England. Martha Fiennes was born in Suffolk, England, to photographer Mark Fiennes and novelist Jennifer Lash. Her siblings include actor Rafe Fiennes and Joseph Fiennes, documentary filmmaker Sophie Fiennes, composer Magnus Fiennes, and Jacob Fiennes, a conservationist. She has a foster brother, Michael Emery, an archaeologist. And her son, Hero, at age 9, played a young version of his uncle Rafe's character, Lord Voldemort, in Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince.
Can you imagine naming your son Hero? They have 7.5 million followers on Instagram.
Yeah, they were in that after we crash or after we collide or you know after we
I don't know what after you're saying.
We what something. Is this? Ashlyn is definitely was screaming at me on how to pronounce the name Rafe Fiennes.
Pronounce. Also, I guess Ralph is pronounced Rafe.
Yes, that's what I was saying.
It's getting confusing.
So yeah, so Rafe Fiennes' nephew is going to be in a movie with A Pretty Little Liar, but I just saw the name. Hero Fiennes Tiffin. And I was like, have you ever met a more English royalty-esque name in your entire life?
No, it's giving nepotism.
There was a kid name. I grew up with whose name was Legend. And I thought that was pretty cool.
Oh, wait, what is this also? Ashlyn put something in here. Wait, what the hell?
Wait, what?
Okay, we're going to need like a minute to learn how to pronounce this.
I can't even say this out loud. Okay.
Twistleton?
The Twistleton Wycombe Fiennes family are the descendants of the 16th Baron Sayen Seal, who was born Frederick Benjamin Twistleton and adopted the surname Twistleton Wycombe Fiennes in 1849 by Act of Parliament.
Girl.
He was the grandson of Thomas Twistleton, 13th Baron Sayen Selly, and inherited the barony from his cousin William Thomas Eardley Twistleton Fiennes. The surname is frequently shortened to Fiennes. Members of the family include the explorer Ranulph Fiennes and actor Ray Fiennes, right. Joseph Fiennes, and Hero Twistleton Wycombe Fiennes Tiffin.
It's like you're making this shit up. Like, how? That's also, like, not fun to say. Like, that's not really exciting. They got a whole family tree in Wikipedia. Oh, girl, they must have money. Emily Twistleton Wycombe Fiennes. John Twistleton. I can't do this.
Okay, so how do I pronounce this shit? It's
they have like 400 people.
The Say, so also spelt Say. So the Baron Sayen Seal is a title in the peerage of England held by the Twistleton Wycombe Fiennes family. The title dates to 1447, but it was recreated in 1603. Confusion over the details of the 15th century title has led to conflicting order for title holders. Authorities such as Burke's peerage and Debrett's peerage do not agree on whether or not the 1447 curiation is still extant.
There is literally one of the references is the Fiennes family from 1100 AD to 2004. We see, you know what? Oh my god, the Marriotts? Anyway,
this is a lot. Literally the entire family tree. Like,
Twistleton, why come Fiennes?
Twistleton? Okay, wait.
It's very close to Tinseltown.
Listen, Hero Twist. Okay, sorry, I'm just laughing now. Hero Twistleton Wycombe Fiennes Tiffin is the most British ass name, but the idea that his mother's family, brothers and sisters, include a novelist, photographer, composer, filmmaker, and conservationist, as well as a famous archaeologist, tells you everything you need to know.
Literally can't get more British than that.
Okay, so also Taylor Swift graduated from NYU this week. Did you hear about that?
Oh my god.
I'm 99% sure I was invited because I have a song called 22. Taylor Swift delivers rousing commencement speech at NYU as she receives honorary doctor of fine arts degree.
My favorite. Who was that person that was talking about the higher interest rates on student loans and said, like, try getting an honorary doctorate?
Wait, if any of you that are teaching your students about us know anything about the way that honorary doctorates are handed out, please,
like the celebrity branch at NYU,
not the child screaming right now.
Twistleton's latest junior.
The Twistleton Wycombe Fines have come for us.
The junior, the third.
The wailing of their deceased infants on the moors. Like, I just...
Oh, they probably have some haunting stuff. Oh, yeah. There's definitely a few properties in England that are
haunted.
There's
a few skeletons in the castle walls. There's, like, a few dead bodies on the property.
At least a few Annabelle dolls, like, that are walking and talking.
Yeah, so, okay. Yeah, all the haunted Victorian children coming to claw at our window right now. So, okay, regardless, if you work in higher education, you know anything about honorary doctorates, please let us know. How do they get given? You can tell I barely graduated
college.
How do they get got? Who decides? Is there an election process for it? Do they have to have a committee meeting about it?
Dunn had hers Anyways, honorary doctorate.
Apparently, they give NYU degrees to anyone because Miss Swift has received an NYU degree when she still can't read. The superstar told thousands of New York University. That was my own copy.
I was about to say. The superstar. Daily Mail did not just say that.
Now we're getting back to the Daily Mail. So, the superstar told thousands of New York University graduates at the Yankee Stadium, I'm 90% sure I was invited because I have a song called 22. And then made a millennial soy face and stuck her tongue out.
I was going to say, I bet the girls were screaming in the audience of laughter. She's so relatable.
The 32-year-old singer-songwriter received an honorary Doctor of Fine Arts degree from New York University on Monday. The red pop star, who went straight into the music business after graduating high school a year early, addressed the graduating class at the distinguished school.
My favorite thing are celebrities who did not go to school doing this. Like,
that's why she can't read.
I can't really relate to you, but I'm sure what you did was amazing.
Swift also delivered a sound piece of advice to the students, who cheered her eloquent words, telling them that getting into embarrassing scrapes was just a fact of life.
Boo.
Are you ready for this?
Tomato, tomato, tomato.
Are you ready for this? This is going to get put on
my bag of tomatoes now.
The most annoying people that you know just ordered this on Redbubble. Are you ready? Learn to live alongside cringe.
Boo!
No matter how hard you try to avoid being cringe, you will look back on your life and cringe.
I mean, true, but... fuck off. Like,
this is why I'm like,
I hate it so much.
What kind of Dollar Tree-esque commencement did she get?
I was gonna say, the girls on Etsy who already made this t-shirt,
the kids
are
who literally
furious.
Were in the war zone of the coronavirus pandemic, yeah! At college, they waited all these years to be delivered some kind of, like, you know, rousing commencement speech, and here comes Taylor Swift like, learn to live alongside cringe, you guys.
She's talking about everyone baking sourdough and doing the, like, whipped coffee thing. That's what she's talking about when she says cringe.
I mean, listen.
Or the cringe of trying to get your unemployment checks.
I guess, right? It's one way to teach all of these children that their degrees don't matter because the world is ending and everything will be on fire by the time they would even cash in on their pensions to begin with. So she also said, quote, life can be heavy, especially if you try to carry it all at once. Okay, wait, can you Google that? Can you literally Google that? Life can be heavy, especially if you try to carry it all at once. Where did she steal that quote from? That it have to have been like a quote somewhere.
Well, now all I'm getting is her recent NYU speech. I have to search the archives.
She urged students to think of whoever had cared for them as a child and answered all their questions growing up, however ridiculous. The music icon suggested students should think of a way to thank that person if they were in the crowd with them, or remember them if they've since died. She's like, I know a lot of you probably lost your families to COVID, so I guess you can't say thank you to them. So just think about them in a nice way.
Well, when I Google that quote and then make sure to filter before May of 2022, you just get a lot of 10 ways to deal with feeling overwhelmed. 5 things to do when feeling overwhelmed with your workload. How to support mental health at work. Surviving tough times by building resilience. And then lots of stock imagery that is...
Did you put quotations around it?
Let me do that again. Here we go.
If you put quotations around
it,
it's
like the exact search. Oh, it's impossible to go without getting Taylor involved here. Okay, again. This is hard work.
Well, while you're doing that, I also have some Sydney Sweeney news.
Oh,
Sydney Sweeney alert.
Okay, wait.
Oh, wait, did you find it?
Oh, wait. Okay, why are there like so many quotes? Wait. Okay, Barbie Ferreira shuts down rumors on Euphoria set drama. How is that involved? This must be something where the SEO is fucking up. Like, yeah, Google's SEO, telling me it's there, but she did SEO, not say
it's because
it.
The Taylor Swift quote is on that. It's right. Appearing on that search page.
Moon Knight director Martin.
Yeah, see, now the SEO. This is how you're seeing how SEO gets made.
It's so awful. You can't, can't go around it.
Their old SEO articles are having new SEO attached to it on the back end. Okay, well, we'll come back to that.
I mean, she definitely didn't come up with that herself.
Speaking of Barbie Ferreira, though, Sydney Sweeney is being sued by an Instagram swimsuit line.
What in the Dorit Kemsley is going on?
So this is getting, I'm getting this from TMZ. So
what in the Beverly Beach?
Quote, the HBO star is being sued by the swim and lifestyle brand LA Collective, you should Google them, for allegedly breaking her contract to model and promote the company's swimsuits. Of course, not Sydney Sweeney getting caught up in influencer drama, like icon. So according to docs obtained by TMZ, the fashion brand claims it reached an agreement with Sydney last year where she would be the influencer for the launch of their new line, Somewhere Swimwear.
Wait, formerly LA Collective, now Muse Fashion Group?
How many followers do they have?
This one must be an old one because it says 100 and something followers, but the Muse Fashion Group has 87,000 followers.
Okay. So the brand, and again, this is from TMZ, says Sydney initially appeared to be on a board and approved all their designs and production prototypes, but they claim her camp suddenly canceled the agreement without any explanation or cause, refusing to proceed. And get this, the brand claims Sydney then appropriated the designs for her own use, wearing the swimsuits they sent her on at least 5 episodes of Euphoria. So basically they're like, you were gonna wear our swimsuits and then you didn't, and then you wore them on Euphoria instead, and we lost out on $3 million worth of Instagram swimsuit purchases
because that's how it works. I'm sure
I know that. I love that they plugged the Sydney Sweeney influence into the algorithm and were like, okay, Sydney Sweeney
statistically speaking
is worth about $3 million worth of Instagram bikini sales. Like, damn,
that's Monopoly
really
money,
it.
Girl.
That's really it. Even with all those kids using their parents' credit cards, she's only worth $3 million. I guess they're
that's a lot of fucking money.
I guess they're spending all their money on Robux.
You saying it that way is like fundamentally wrong.
Robux.
I think there's a L.
No, I'm talking about the money.
Oh, is that the money that you spent in Roblox?
Robux.
Why?
Robux. I don't know.
Disqualifies.
Robux sounds like some kind of porn token. So like
Robux.
That's some gay porn site. Okay, so that's all we have for Sydney Sweeney. I also have some Kyle Richards news.
Oh, what's she do?
Kyle Richards teases complicated and complex feud with Kathy Hilton. Quote, it's so complicated and complex. All I can say is we're family and we're going to have these moments. That's also me describing this podcast and our relationship.
It's very complicated.
It's complicated and complex, and we're family and we're going to have moments. She told Page Six all of this at the NBC Universal upfronts in New York City on Monday, where they were also shooting those promo for BravoCon with Karen, Giselle. I think Luann was there too.
I think
there was
so.
A bunch of Bravo people. I think Kenya was also there. Mm-hmm. Kyle was there.
Yeah. I saw that Kyle's version, she cropped out
Karen.
Yeah.
Because she's hateful.
Yeah.
So then she also says, quote, I feel like my sisters and I, we have arguments, we make up, we're blood. I don't know if everyone is like that. The fact that we're on television definitely complicates things. A lot of people think, wait, are you upset that they put Kathy on the show? It was my idea. I went to Bravo and said, I think my sister would be great on the show. She's so funny and we're in such a good place. And then I went to Kathy and she said, well, what do you think about being on the show? And she said, I don't know. So it was actually me that pushed for it. However,
she still learned her lesson at this point. Like,
Page Six confirmed recently on Watch What Happens Live that they're not speaking. But
wow,
Kyle exclusively told Page Six that they have since reconciled, since a friend of theirs committed death by suicide, a friend that they had known since childhood, which is pretty dark.
Yeah.
Richards also told Page Six, quote, that despite her history of fighting with Hilton and her other sister, Kim, she was naive because she really thought we would never fight again.
What an assumption to make.
What an assumption. Yeah. The only other thing I have, and then we can get out of here. I mean, it was pretty light this week. Billy Eichner has a new movie out that I don't really want to talk about. It's not out yet, but it has a trailer, bros.
We'll link the trailer.
We'll
in the
probably stream this for the server when it comes out.
An entirely LGBTQ plus principal cast.
Yes. The only reason I want to talk about this movie, though, is because on YouTube, Universal labeled the like debut trailer for the film as NSFW, which I've never seen
before. I was
about
to say, like, I haven't seen that since like 2000s unrated cut version of movies at Blockbuster. Like, that's the only thing I could think of that's giving. Like, when do they ever do that?
I'm actually looking up right now.
Like, just NSFW trailers.
Yeah,
on YouTube,
like literally. Like, not even the Crimes of the Future trailer got an NSFW logo
okay,
on
no,
it.
Okay, no, literally, you search NSFW trailer on YouTube, that is the first thing that comes up, the one that Rory talked
yeah,
about with Eichner.
No, and literally.
Then 10 years ago, Filth, original Red Band trailer from Lionsgate Films.
No, but that's what I'm saying. And also, like, a Nicolas Cage trailer. No, yeah. Not even that one. No, not even the Nicolas Cage
They call it the Red Band trailers, but, like, at the same time, these things are usually not really, like, gatekept. Like, it's pretty rare.
Wait, is that what they call it, the Red Band? Is that what
yeah,
Red
Netflix
Band
calls
means?
It a Red Band trailer, I guess.
No, I'm saying, does Red Band mean, isn't Red Band a distribution company?
No, Red Band I'm pretty sure means like NSFW, like unrated.
Really?
I'm pretty sure. Let me look it up.
Red, I don't,
yeah, like R-rated trailers.
No,
like,
oh, those are,
that's
like
what I was
R-rated
pretty sure.
Trailers.
Yeah,
oh, okay,
yeah, yeah.
okay.
Yeah,
well, I just thought it was weird that I've never seen the word actually NSFW mm-hmm. used in a trailer for like a Universal picture. Like, this isn't like freaking Sundance flick. This is literally
oh
Universal.
God. This is really throwing me back so far. So I'm looking at like a Screen Rant article from 2019, what a Red Band trailer actually means and where it comes from. And you remember these? Oh my God.
Yeah, yeah,
MPAA.org,
yeah.
Like when they actually put the red.
Yeah, the motion picture.
Yeah, but like remember before when they would do like, they would literally have the green background mm-hmm. and it would say like, this is for general audiences.
Yeah.
They put the red background when it's mature audiences.
Yeah. Okay. So that totally makes sense. But again,
using NSFW instead of Red Band is an interesting like marketing choice though.
No, that's what I'm saying. It makes me feel like they did it because it's a gay movie.
Okay. No, also though, like, so I watched the whole trailer before because I saw you had in the notes here. And
they, like,
there's one scene.
They simulate oral sex, but there's no dick out. You can
yeah.
see them. They're just kneeling over
yeah
him.
They're just like a bunch of guys all shirtless going down on somebody, but you
like
can't
like,
see anything.
But you also, they're not really going down on him because he's fully clothed.
Yeah, exactly, that's what I mean. Like, it's not real, it's just like alluding to.
So yeah, I just have,
and they don't
never
even like cuss
NSFW.
Or say anything nasty. They don't even say something like cum bucket or something.
But that's
like,
the thing, like there's so
fisting,
many movies
nothing
that
like that at all
don't get that label that they've all, it was just weird. I don't know.
I mean, the trailer was weird in general.
It made the hair on the back of my head stand up a little bit because I was just like, the NSFW thing, like, in light of the culture war that we are living through, like, it just felt a little pointed, that NSFW, to me.
It's, no, it's weird. No, it's weird. I agree. I think it's also odd.
But that's all I've got.
Yeah.
That's all I've got. I have actually dinner party at the Twizzleton Wycombe Fines estate.
Luncheon.
Yeah. Lady Twizzleton Wycombe Fines down is actually, you know, invited me over to their estate at Agnes by the Sea. I don't
Stop.
Know what the fuck. I don't know how to pronounce it. So,
a
yeah, I got to go, actually.
A fundraiser for more, like,
for
white,
the
curly wigs
Institute
or something.
For Ideas. Yeah. This Institute for Ideas in association with Tampax and
hi Tampax.
Well, they're a society for big ideas, and there's no bigger idea than a tampon. I hear Chloe Sevigny is the guest of honor, so I gotta get going.
You know, I'm shocked you didn't put anything about Cara Delevingne in here.
Oh yeah, no.
Speaking
I've,
of like,
I've willfully
nonsense.
Left it out.
Yeah, there's nothing to really say, is it?
I do want to end with one thing that I forgot, though, about the Gia Gunn stuff. The funniest tweet that I saw all weekend, and if I can find it, I'll link it. There's been so many tweets, obviously. There's tweets all the time. Was somebody said that Gia Gunn is what happens when you have main character syndrome and are also the main character. I'd like to think that that's how I go through life as well.
They're literally pointing the cameras to Gia Gunn, like, say it again. Like,
oh, no, the universe has its eye trained firmly on Gia Gunn. Looking camp right in the eye.
The boom boom gun.
Just landed like fresh tilapia. You're all still dudes. Okay. Do you want to get out of here?
Let's do it. Three,
two, one. Hi, my name is Gia Gunn, and I did not see glamour at DragCon 2022.
Look at us. Hive mind.
I had to kind of slow down for you. It was taking you a minute to catch up.
Listen, harmonizing on the fly and improv at the same time is not an easy task. I'm just going to say.
I know. Clearly, it's something that only I'm capable of. There are children now playing basketball in my backyard, so we should get going.
I remember, I think that was the same guy once that was just staring at us while we were recording one time. Because like, we had the window open and I was like, oh my god, they're fully like in this podcast with us right now.
There goes our plans to smoke weed out the window.
Just blow on them children's
faces.
Let's
offer the kids a joint. Let's get out of here. 3, 2, 1, bye.
Come on, you know the words. Let's go.
What do I think of her?
Yes.
I don't think of her.
A red wine and a sweet shot. I think you get the picture.
Here I go. Ooh.